Good morning. All right, yes, I'm senior to him, yes, I am. But only in age, for he is a senior in wisdom. And you're lucky to have this man as a pastor here. He is a blessing, that is for sure. I want to go back into our gospel reading this morning, and I want to repeat a section of it because I think it is pertinent to us all, because I believe we all do this. And so some of the disciples said to one another, "What is it this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me, because I'm going to the Father." And so they were saying, what does he mean by a little while? What does he mean by a little while? Let me ask you this question today. How many of us sitting in this wonderful gathering in this church have ever questioned God? Raise your hand if you've ever questioned God. Yeah. And for those of us who didn't raise our hand, I guarantee you somewhere in your life, you have said, "Really, Lord?" Yeah. It's normal. It's human for us to say, "Excuse me? You really want what?" Or to do this, "Why, God? Why? I don't understand. Why?" You know? Now, I know for our family, and for a lot of the families, since December, there has been times, many, many times, that we have said, "Why? Why?" And I will tell you, as Tom will tell you, we don't have an answer for it. And many, many people look at us as pastors, and they think we are the purveyors of all knowledge of God, and when things happen in people's lives, they come to us and they seek that response. You know, I've had many people come to me and say, "Pastor Jeff, why?" And the only answer that I can give is trust in God, because I don't have an answer. Why? You know. And these disciples were questioning. They were like, "Well, what is he talking about? In a little while." How long is a little while? Well, we're still waiting, right? You know, Paul, in his writings, if you look at all Paul's letters, as he wrote those letters, originally when he started writing those letters in Romans and all of that, he thought that the little while was tomorrow. Or maybe even later today, when talking about the return of Christ. And then as time went on, it got a little longer and a little longer and a little longer. And I know that Paul was sitting there saying, "Well, maybe I missed this mark. Maybe I don't understand. Maybe I didn't get it. And maybe it won't be while I'm still with us." And he got to a certain point as his letters progress that you see he comes to an understanding that the parousia, the big fancy Greek word parousia, the return of Christ, wasn't going to happen during his time. And he was not alone in his trying to figure out God and what was going on in the return of Christ. He was not alone. There were many great leaders of the church who went through and said, "When? And why? And how?" Thomas Aquinas, you know. Interestingly enough, the father of theology at times is considered, but he too was like, "What?" Little Martin Luther spent his entire life trying to figure out sin, trying to figure out his own personal sin, trying to figure out what is it that I can do in order to be within the good graces of God. John Wesley, father of Methodism, spent all his life striving for perfection. He didn't reach it. Came close. For perfection is a complete love of God and a complete love of one another. Now, how many of us have been called upon to love one another and yet have a hard time doing it, and ask God at times when someone steps on our last nerve, why? Why? How do I deal with this? How do I deal with this individual? How do I deal with this person? FOP members, and my father-in-law, George, spent his life as a police officer. And what do police officers constantly seek? The truth. Yeah. They want the truth. Remember Jack West? Just the facts. Don't care about all that other stuff. We want to know the facts. We want to know the truth. You know, and Jesus himself told us, what will the truth do?
It'll set us free.
Now, what is being set free? Being set free is when we come to an acceptance that we don't have to have the answer. We don't need to know why. We just need to believe. And to trust in Christ. And Christ will see us through. No matter what it is. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how confusing it is, that it is a trust in Christ that will see us through and bring us to another level in our faith. Now, it's easy for me to say, isn't it? It is hard to do. It is hard to do because we have a tendency to want to know why. And for me to say to you, put that behind you. You will look at me and say, yes, he's crazy. Because I can't do that. We cannot do it ourselves, you see. And Jesus even said, you know, I have much more to tell you, as he talked to these disciples. He said, I have much more to tell you, but you're not going to get it. You're not going to understand until the Spirit, the truth comes. There's that truth again for my police officer friends. There's a truth for all of us. But we won't get it until that Spirit comes upon us. And in a couple of weeks, in the seasons of the church, we will celebrate Pentecost. Now, if you remember, Pentecost is the coming of the Spirit. And the Spirit touches us. And it moves us. And we are at that point, as it did the disciples, that they breathed upon the Spirit. And when Jesus, if you remember, also breathed upon the Spirit, and depending on what gospel you're looking at, he breathed the Spirit into the disciples. It is then that we can understand the truth. That we can understand the grace that is God in our lives. Now, will that make us stop asking why? No. We will never cease to stop asking why. We will never cease to stop asking why. It is our nature. In our humanness, we will always ask. What we can work on is coming to an understanding that we don't need the answer. As we mature in our faith, we will mature in our faith to a point, our prayer is that we will come to the understanding that the answer, it doesn't matter. See, we are seeking answers as humans. We are seeking human answers to divine questions. You know, we are trying to make that which is not solid. Solid. We are seeking to discover that which goes beyond our capability, beyond our brains, to discover. How many of you have ever thought about God and thought about life and thought about death and thought about all of these things? Have you ever noticed that you can only go so far and then you stop? It stops. Your brain just can't fathom it. It's because we are not supposed to know why or how or all of that. It is because we are supposed to only walk in faith. And even Jesus himself questioned. You know, he questioned. And then he would say, it doesn't matter. It's about your will, Lord, not mine. So let us in this way and in this day, let us understand that we have so many, many questions, and some of them will have answers and some of them will not. Some of them will drive us insane if we allow them to continue to touch our hearts. You heard the various readings today. We heard Peter question when he had the vision. And he looked at the Lord and said, "Really? You want me to do this? You want me to break all of the tradition that I've ever had? You want me to break all of the experience that you have ever given to me? And you want me to eat these things?" And God said to him, "It's okay. It doesn't matter." Paul, again, in his letters, he says the same thing when it comes to things like circumcision, and it comes to all these different things. Paul reiterates Jesus, and Jesus said, "It doesn't matter. None of that stuff matters." And we get so caught up in the stuff that it becomes what matters to us, when none of it matters other than God. The things of life matter not in itself. All of the property we have, all of the things we own, all of the gadgets that we carry in our... Believe me, my house is filled with gadgets. Anybody ever need something for a kitchen, cooking, or any of that kind of thing, just call me. Get Tom, just call me. We have it all in the house. But none of it matters, really, though. If you think about it, there's nothing that's worthwhile. You know, my biggest and fondest saying is that I have done many, many funerals in my lifetime, and absolutely none of them have had U-Hauls behind them. You cannot take this stuff with you, and all of this stuff will fall apart. All of it breaks down. Even our own human bodies break down. They will not last forever, but eternity lasts forever. And the eternal soul, if it connects with God, if it connects with Christ, it doesn't worry about asking the questions anymore. It just flows with God. And that is what it is about. So if you have many questions, don't seek to find the answers. Don't waste your time doing it. Accept that which is God and walk within that way, within that peace that only Christ can bring in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
All right. You have to show me how you do it. Because for me, I would just flow right in. I do not want to break your heart. Yeah, see, here we are worrying about the things of men. When we are going to do that which is divine. You see, one of the biggest things that confuses the church is this supper. It confused the church the day that Jesus said, "Unless you eat of my body and drink of my blood, you will not go to heaven. You will not enter into heaven." It confused them because they said, "That's cannibalism. We don't do that." And like the disciples then and to us nowadays, we don't get it. We don't realize that we must go deeper, you see. Deeper into our faith, deeper into who we are. When Jesus took that bread that day, and I also find it really very interesting that Jesus took the bread, but he took what was left of the bread. He didn't take that nice, pristine, fresh loaf of bread. He took what was left, which tells me within my heart that Christ can take us, no matter what state we are in, and make us, and make it special. But he took the bread, and he looked upon his Father in heaven, and he said, "Blessed, O Lord, ruler of the universe, who gives us the wheat that we might make bread. Happy are we who eat of it. For this is my body, which is broken for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. As often as you do it in remembrance of me." Now, hear that again. As often as you do it, do it in remembrance of me. And I know in this holy place you break the bread on a regular basis. But there are those who do not do that. This also means this. When you sit at the table with your family, break the bread and remember. Break the bread and remember. And then he took the cup. I love the simplicity of this beautiful cup. For the cup that he had was not ornate, it was not gold, it was none of that, it was a wooden cup. And in that wooden cup he poured what was left of the wine. And he said, "Blessed, O Lord, ruler of the universe, who gives us the grape that we might make drink. Happy are we who receive it. For this is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant that will be shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins." So often as you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. Father, in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus, may you bless these elements and bless those gathered here as we partake of this holy feast. Pour out your blessings upon these gifts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
This is not the table of this church, this is the table of the Lord.
And therefore, the Lord, through his ministers, extends it to you. You are invited to come, all those who love our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ with sincerity and truth, to come forward and to receive. As Dave has presented the bread of life from the pulpit in spoken form, so he will offer you the bread of life received. I will be holding the cup. We practice by intinction. You then come and make your way to a kneeling bench and spend as long as you would like in prayer. Our associate pastor, Al Hill, will be over by the cross. He will be there. If you have a special item you would like prayer for, just between you and another person, Al is there for you. So I'd ask.